You're listening to The Antioch Word. I'm Tom Amrine, the new Wiseau Miller Fellow. Antioch's year-round schedule is sometimes grueling, always exhausting, but it also creates space for variation and diversity that more typical models don't always facilitate. In this vein, the Word is changing things up just a bit. We are now featuring the works of students, staff, faculty, etc. This means that your projects have a chance to be an episode of The Word. Oh, and we also remixed the theme song. If you haven't heard of Community Voices, it's a radio production course taught by Wiseau for college students, the greater public, anyone who's interested in making radio. Students learn how to interview, operate equipment, and edit pieces together. Many of Wiseau's workers, myself included, got their start at the station by taking the course. Wiseau's Jocelyn Robinson recently taught it for only Antioch students as a media class. Through all of Antioch's shifting, there are things that string everything together. Some of them are tangible, some are not. Some of them are big, and some are really, really small. So small that you may not have ever even noticed them. During Community Voices last quarter, Tony Jonas Silver, class of 2018, created this piece about one of the smaller ones.
Hey, random question. Did you guys know Gene by any chance?
I saw him at a couple parties once, but besides that, no.
But you knew who he was.
I knew who he was. Yeah, I think everyone knew.
Well, I had heard a lot about him before I met him.
I think I may have heard some things about him when he still lived in the dorms, but I didn't see him with my own two eyes.
I did, actually. I visited him when he was living here in Birch, and he was just very delightful. Kind of kept himself, but definitely had a lot of personality.
He did this thing where he sneezed all the time, like this weird little sneeze.
He delved into my backpack and tried to steal some Ritz crackers.
Did he get the crackers?
He sure did. Yeah.
Oh. I was going to tell a funny story, but then it turned out that it probably wasn't that funny. Because it's about the moment when Gene died.
Oh. Gene's dead?
Yeah.
When did Gene die?
Just before the quarter started.
Oh, but I didn't even realize he was gone.
I saved Gene's life.
You saved his life once?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Gene was rooming in Danny and Odette's apartment, and I was taking care of their cats, and I didn't know Gene was in there, and I went in there, and he had no food and water.
Are you kidding?
I'm dead serious.
What did you do?
I took him upstairs, I fed him, gave him water, and I played with him for a long time. And I contacted Odette, and I was like, Odette and Danny, there's a rat in here. They were like, why? I was like, I don't know.
So Rihanna was the origin of him being brought to Antioch. And how I heard it was that she went to PetSmart or Petco or something like that, and they were, like, giving away free baby rats because, like, they were overbred, and, like, sometimes they'll do that. Mm-hmm. So she was like, oh, cool, like, I'll take a rat. So she brought back the baby Gene. And then
And he was a baby?
He was a baby. He was, like, tiny, yeah.
We weren't allowed to have him in the space, so he was, like, always a secret, but everyone knew about him, including, like, a lot of our RAs.
So I remember, like, people, like, talking about, like, oh, like, you know, Rihanna has a rat, and, like, always, like, but it was kind of, like, a secret thing.
Before he came to us, I'm not really sure all the places he lived, but I know he lived in a few different rooms in the dorms. But everyone loved him so much that so many people knew about him, and it never was a problem.
Charlotte and Esme at some point had him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And then there was this time, actually, when winter quarter had ended and Charlotte left. And so I went back to the room and all of Charlotte's stuff was gone and Gene was in his cage on the bed. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about this rat.
That's, I feel like, the epitome of what I was talking about, like kind of a tumultuous first part of his life.
I was trying to figure out who could take care of him. And then I went back to the room and he was gone.
I wonder who took him.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
No one ever found out.
The cage was gone.
Then he was with Austin. Austin had him in his closet, and that was when I got introduced to him, and it didn't look like a good situation. Mm-hmm. And Austin was really not wanting to have to take care of him and felt like he didn't want to be responsible for him. That's when I brought him down the hall in the bowling ball bag to introduce him to Jessica and decide whether he could live in our room.
When we got him originally, one of the plans for him was to let him free in the glen because there was no one to take care of him. And that's part of the reason why we took him.
We weren't really like planning on, like, I would never have like had a rat at school, but he like kind of came to us and then we got along so well. And I think he ended up having like a pretty autonomous life.
I didn't know that when I officially came to Antioch that I would be roommates with this being. And I was, and I felt like I was brought into this like community of people that were all coming together to take care of this being, maybe because originally he didn't have the proper support.
I think he was like a thread through a lot of people's Antioch experiences and tying a lot of people together. And it was cool that like this other little creature was able to do that and probably not aware of that he was doing that.
Yeah, no, I think that he's definitely a good memory that I'll take from Antioch. You know, it fit in with, like, the quirkiness of this. Like, I feel like this place is a very unconventional school.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot more to his life than any of us know. Too bad we can't interview him.
Would you say that he had a lasting impact on the community?
I would, yes. I would say that.
That was a story by Antioch student Tony Jonas Silver. You can hear more Community Voices pieces at wyso.org. I was curious to hear Tony's perspective on this story, so we set up a time to sit down and chat.
I guess I was thinking about, I wanted to do something that could like get at something about the community outside of like the political kind of controversies, because there's also a different level of community that I thought Jean could kind of help me capture. And then also I was becoming curious in, so like Jean had died recently and I was just, so like we would talk about him and things would come up that like people who spent a lot of time with him didn't know about. Like nobody had all of those stories in one place. Yeah, I mean the whole thing was like partially a joke and partially like really like kind of serious, and people that spent a lot of time with him actually like felt like he was a real friend. Listening to it as an outsider, that kind of comes off as a joke. I feel like there's other examples of like things like Jean that are kind of things that you only really understand if you are like fully immersed in the community. People are really into the idea of community here, and it, like a lot of people like really value it, but I think there's something about things that aren't like intentionally building community are a lot of times more effective at that and like more genuine. And even though I'm saying that intentionally trying to build community can sometimes like not work out so well, I am also one of those people who's interested in doing that, and I'm also interested in like looking at like where community is really strong, or like where like these things are already happening.
I'm Thomas Amrine, and this is the Antioch Word. You can access all of our episodes at wyso.org. Thanks for listening.